The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Former HSE Chief Executive Tony O'Brien has been appointed as chairperson to the board of the Peter McVerry Trust. It follows a turbulent period for the charity, which has been subject to investigations by the charity's regulator and the approved housing body's regulatory authority over the past couple of years, and is currently subject to monitoring experts by the latter organisation. Well, that new chairperson, Tony O'Brien, is with me now. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's talk about your role. What have you been asked to do?
I've been asked to chair the board of the Peter McVerry Trust. Those are the trustees in a charity sense. And obviously, one of my key tasks is to ensure that the wide range of services that the trust provides and has continued to provide are long provided into the future, but also to ensure absolute transparency and to restore public trust, funder trust and regulatory trust. And that's really what my...
So who appoints you to that job?
The board of the trust, the existing board of the trust, carried out an open process with an organisation called Board Match, and it's ultimately themselves who've appointed me as chair.
Now, do you have any role looking retrospectively at the organisation and from your point of view, from the trust point of view, figuring out what went wrong?
Well, I'm aided in that by the fact that, as you've mentioned, two significant regulatory bodies have carried out very in-depth reports. So I'm committed to the implementation of those reports. I don't particularly need to carry out an inquest myself, but clearly the learnings from those reports are essential. And I want to ensure that the trust never gets into those kinds of difficulties again.
Now, some of us are old enough to remember at the beginnings of the Peter McVerry Trust, and it was for homeless boys in Ballymun, and then it became Peter's life work, and so the trust was established. It's not what it began with. It's for more than homeless young men. It's for lots of people, and it's huge.
It is a big organisation, and that's a reflection, I guess, of the need that there is for the types of services that the Peter McVerry Trust has always provided. And that need is probably greater now than it's ever been. I think that's the reason why everybody truly does want the trust to succeed and to recover and to go on to do the tremendous work that it's been doing throughout those years.
Now, the question of how it's funded, it obviously gathers donations, and I myself was involved in the Carol concert annually for the Peter McVerry Trust, which raised funds from the public, and it was a great occasion. It always began Christmas for me. But the state actually provides the bulk of the funding.
Yeah, there's a wide range of funders from government departments, local authorities and various state agencies, including the HSE and others, who provide pockets of funding for different specialised services. And clearly, what the trust needs to ensure going forward, as they say, is that the funding that it receives and can generate is equal to the cost that it has and that it doesn't get into any further financial difficulties.
It required a bailout from the state.
It required a significant injection of funds, but those funds are safe. They're secured against assets of the Peter McVerry Trust, and there are a number of agreements in place that enable that over time the trust will work its way through those.
Now, looking at how it became as big as it did, you say it's a reflection of the need to look after homeless people, but it does seem as if the state regularly gets third parties, if you like, to do the work that might properly be done by the state.
That's certainly a feature of all social care provision in Ireland. I think one of the things the trust got into the habit of doing was not saying no to the state when it wanted it to do various things. So some of that growth happened perhaps too quickly, perhaps in not a sufficiently strategic way, and without an eye to ensuring that all of the costs that the trust were going to incur were being met by one source or another. And that led the trust into a situation where some decisions were made which shouldn't have been made. And as we've said, that's been the subject of significant regulatory investigation.
Now, the question of how funds are treated, I mean, there might be a gift from a benefactor which would be designated for a particular thing. And some of those things were commingled, I think the word is, with other funds. And that's the kind of thing that proper governance would not permit.
That's right. And the regulators have said that a number of those things were done without the knowledge or oversight of the board. So it's really important that any organisation, particularly one in receipt of charitable or public funds, has systems in place to ensure that that can't happen. And so there were a number of failings. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It's well documented. Anyone can read them on the regulators' reports. But the board that's been there in the interim has done a number of things to improve that. There's a new chief executive with a very strong background in this area. A number of other key functions and systems are in place to ensure that the trust can't repeat the mistakes of the past. But it is also important to note that throughout that period of turmoil, the key services that it provides to some of the most vulnerable in society have continued to be provided, and it's remained true to that ethos. And that's one of the things that's attracted me to the role.
Now, the former CEO, short-term CEO, Francis Doherty, said the board placed unreasonable restrictions on him speaking to regulators. I mean, that seems strange.
Well, I know that he said that. I don't know what happened at that time, but I know that that sort of thing definitely shouldn't have ever occurred, in the sense that regulators must have free access to the bodies that they're regulating. I'm used to regulated environments in other sectors, and certainly I would never have imposed any restrictions. So whilst I can't go back and deal in detail with all of that, I can absolutely guarantee that the trust will operate in the most transparent way possible going forward.
Generally speaking, do you think that people who get involved in charities and become trustees are unaware of the profound obligations placed on their shoulders?
I think that can sometimes be the case. Being involved in a regulated body is a serious commitment. And obviously, trustees do not receive remuneration or funds for their time. So it's really important that people have their eyes completely wide open. And in my case, because of what's been laid bare by the regulators, my eyes are definitely wide open. And I bring considerable experience to the role. We've talked about some of those things in the past, you and I. And I'm absolutely clear-eyed about what's required to ensure that there are no repeats of past mistakes and that the services can continue to be provided.
Now, you mentioned the service is continuing, but the question is, have you managed to untangle some of those financial difficulties of the past?
There are processes in place which the new chief executive, and with considerable support from the regulatory bodies, have put in place. And as you mentioned, there's an oversight group as well. So there are plans and processes in place which are dealing with all of those. They're not all completely unwound or completely finished with, but I'm satisfied that the trust is doing the right things at this time, and as chair I'll ensure that we get to the end of those processes, particularly with regard to the use of restricted funds and so on, in order to ensure that we have a clean sheet going forward. And all of that will become very clear when the 2023 accounts are published in a few weeks' time.
Now, there was one particular transaction that ended up being repaid to the trust. You probably know what I'm referring to. Are all such transactions, as were uncovered, have they been rendered back to the trust?
They're either all resolved or in the process of being resolved. I'm only in the job about 5 days, so I think and the bank holiday weekend has been part of that, so I'd be foolish to give you a blanket guarantee. But I can say that everything has been surfaced and that there are processes in place which will resolve all of those issues.
Does the trust have debts which it now must repay?
It does indeed. I mean, one of the things is that the management of the trust at that time warehoused a considerable amount of revenue liabilities without the knowledge of the board, and there is a process in place which will see all of that dealt with. And there are a number of other issues to do with additional funds that were made available to the trust to get it out of the difficulties that it in it. And again, all of those are being dealt with in line with the agreements that were reached at the time.
So if the board in the past was kept in the dark about certain liabilities that were incurred, how do you intend to run your board to make sure that doesn't happen in the future? Because it's the board's relationship with the executive, really, that is important.
Yeah, well, it's a substantially new board. It's a substantially new executive. The organisation is being run in line with contemporary systems of governance. I'm a chartered director myself, very familiar with the issues that are required to ensure that there is hygiene factors around all of the transactions. And I'm absolutely confident that we can go forward on a satisfactory basis, on a transparent basis, which will ensure the trust doesn't repeat any of the mistakes of the past.
What information do you have about the damage that has been done to the trust by all of this scandal?
It's hard to quantify that.
Well, you can quantify the donations, for example, and if they're down, they're down.
Well, one of the things that's difficult to be clear about that is that we're in a period where donations across a number of charities are down because of inflationary pressures and so on. So it's difficult to be certain, but clearly there has been damage. And a big task now is to restore confidence of all those who supported the trust in the past, that they can do so in the future in a way which leaves them certain that their funds will be used in the correct way.
And Father Peter McVeary is still involved on the board?
Father McVerry has been on the board for many, many years and has signalled that he'll step down from the board at the end of June, but he's not leaving the trust. He will continue with his mission, as it were, as part of the day-to-day work of the organisation. But one of the things that all organisations need to do is ensure an appropriate rotation in their board. And Peter has decided that this is a good time after, you know, 50 years or so and at least 20 years on the board to leave the board, but to continue his work with the trust.
Has he been a bit broken by all of this?
I bet you.
It bears his name, after all. And, I mean, he was such an iconic man in terms of being the conscience, if you like, of the public a lot of the time about government action or inaction.
Well, I've met him a few times in recent weeks. I wouldn't describe him as a broken man. Obviously, he has disappointment about what happened, and it's clearly been a difficult time, but he's absolutely committed in exactly the same way as he always was to reaching out and providing care and support to people who were in particular need and who were at the margins of society, and I don't think that's ever going to change.
Do you believe that the organisation is at the appropriate size now, or should you be downsizing? Because the problems probably came from expanding too fast, and many businesses run into that kind of trouble, that governance becomes a problem. Just keeping an eye on all the strings to a particular bow can be difficult.
Well, the organisation has reduced a little bit in recent years. What I am committed to is ensuring that the really important services that the trust is providing now continue to be provided either by the trust or by another entity, and that any expansion, if there is any, is done in a really strategic way, which is appropriate to the mission of the Peter McVerry Trust and which is affordable. That's the key criteria.
Do you believe that maybe other agencies, either the state directly, the Department of Health or whatever it might be, the HSE, or county councils, Dublin City Council, whatever, might be more appropriate bodies to run many of the services?
In some instances, that might be the case. I can't give you a blanket answer. But in general, where charities like the Peter McVerry Trust are at the cutting edge of service delivery, reaching out to people who otherwise wouldn't have access to services, you always have to ask yourself the question, can this be mainstreamed? Should it be mainstreamed? And that's true of every charity in the country. So it's certainly a question that will be asked by the trust as we go.
And finally, Tony, the question of the impact this has had on staff. Over the years, I've met many of the people on the front line, as it were. And when they see all their good work being undermined by that kind of scandal, what has been the impact?
It's clearly had some impact, but it's noticeable and notable that their commitment to providing services to the people who benefit from the Peter McVerry Trust has been unwavered. They've continued to provide those services to a very high standard, to a wide range of people who otherwise wouldn't have access to the services that they receive. And I'd like to pay tribute to the staff of the Trust for continuing to do that in what have been very difficult and turbulent times. And it's a mark of their commitment to the aims of the Trust that they've been able to do that.
What would you say to people who have maybe been hesitant about donating now to the Trust?
I hope that people who've supported the Trust in the past will feel confident now to continue to do so in the future and be doing so safe in the knowledge that any funds that they give will absolutely be used for the purpose that they intend them for, and that the Trust will be put on a very sound footing going forward.
Tony O'Brien, new chair of the Peter McVerry Trust. Tony, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
Thanks.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.